feel like a touchdown. This feel like an easy six. Defense is retreating quick. Know I got that cannon on me and receivers on the whim. Welcome pressure, where's a blitz? Not afraid to take the risk. Swear to God, I hate to lose, but when it
what's up, what's up, what's up? Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Drop Balls Podcast. Your favorite podcast is favorite sports podcast. Yes, you heard me right. I said your favorite podcast is favorite sports podcast. Hope you all are having a good week so far. It is draft day, so you know your favorite team going to pick your next favorite player, hopefully. But we'll see how that goes. We're going to get into that a little bit in the show. But before we get into that, let's do a little housekeeping. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to go down to the rating and review section and leave your boy that 5-star rating. Yes, sir. And also leave me some comments. Let me know what you like, what you dislike, all of the above. And if you listen on Spotify, they have a rating section as well. So go ahead and leave your boy that 5-star rating on Spotify. And no matter where you're listening to, whatever podcast platform you're listening on, please be sure to subscribe and share the podcast with your friends, your family, anybody you know that just likes sports or loves sports just as much as you and I do. So that way we can get the message out. We can get the podcast out and all of the above. But today, you know, I got a special guest. It is draft day. So I do have a special guest, my boy Vic, a.k.a. Veezy.
What's happening, man?
He's coming on the show. We're going to talk about his song. He just dropped a new song called single. Touchdown.
Yes, sir.
And he's trying to get that up on Madden. So
hell yeah. That's it. That's literally what I'm trying to do is get that on Madden, man. I've been plugging that everywhere I go.
Yeah, for sure.
I submitted it to ESPN. I submitted it to North Face, a couple of places. So when a new Madden when 23 come around, I'm gonna submit it to that when it comes available.
Bet. All right, so go ahead and introduce yourself. He's been on the show before, but go ahead and introduce yourself, your favorite team, all of that.
I done been here a couple times before, man. You know what I'm saying? Of course, I'm a Cowboys fan of San Antonio, Texas. You know what I'm saying? They call me Vizzy, but you know I got a new single coming out called it's out already, called Touchdown. So you can go download that, play that any streaming platform. But I'm definitely trying to get that single out there for, you know, warm ups, any type of sports events. You know what I'm saying? Any type of anything sports related. So video games, you know, playoffs, background, ESPN, anything like that. But yeah, man, I'm definitely trying to get that out there.
All right, so let's talk about it real quick, man. So what got you into music? Because you know you. Shit, since I met you, two, three years ago?
Yeah, like 3 years ago. 4 years ago? Yeah.
Since I met you, I knew you did music or whatever, but you sent me some of your music back a few years ago, and I told you it was dope. Like, it was, you know, it was hitting. So then you started dropping these singles every now and then, but what got you into doing music and stuff?
I mean, originally what got me into doing music was probably my parents, you know what I'm saying? It was a big difference in like what they listened to, you know what I'm saying? So like my mom was like more neo soul, Jill Scott, Erykah Badu type stuff like that. And then my dad was like more into like funk, like the old like Bootsy Collins, you know what I'm saying? Like that type of stuff, you know. And then he listened to like the ignorant South rap, so UGK, A-Ball, and MJG. You know what I'm saying? So I had two different perspectives.
Yeah.
So when I finally put them together, you know, I like both. You know what I'm saying? So I started thinking like, what if I can try to blend? You know what I'm saying? Try to put some of that stuff together and show all of my experiences. So I finally did that when I was like 10, 11 years old, and it ended up coming out pretty good. You know what I'm saying? So I just been stuck with it ever since, and everything I pushed out, or everything that I showed people, was better than what they expected, and it was better than, you know, the average. So I was like, okay, cool. I got something. You know, I got something that's a little bit better than everybody else's. I knew that I was going to be involved in music some way, some shape, some form from an early age. Yeah.
So how often are you in the studio?
I mean, at least two times a week. One time a week for sure, because usually Mondays, that's like the team day. At the studio, there's nobody there at the studio on Monday, so we always go on Mondays. But I try to hit any other day I can besides Mondays. But for sure, one day a week, if not, at least 2 to 3 times a week.
Okay. So, you know, you just dropped Touchdown, and, you know, let people know, because, you know, I played it at the intro.
Yeah.
But let people know, you know, what's it, what it is about, and, you know, what you trying to touch with that song.
So with Touchdown, it was actually inspired by a Saha the Prince song called Sideways. Mm-hmm. It was on, like, I can't remember which 2K it was, but he did. So on 2K, they used to do, and on Madden they used to do, but now it's more common on 2K. They used to do a song. They would take an artist song, and then they would say, I like the song, and then they would flip the song, all sports. So he did a song, one of his songs on the Royal Flush mixtape, Saha the Prince, called Sideways. He flipped it to all sports. So when he redid it, he made it like all like sports references, players' names, team names, and stuff like that. And he flipped it. And I was like, man, that's dope. And then it creates a high replay value because his song is on that 2K forever. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody's going to hear that. Even if you didn't want to hear it, you're going to hear it, you know, playing through the menus on the game. So I was just like, man, I'm trying to do something like that. And I had the idea for it. I was waiting for it to kind of like, you know, like manifest, you know what I'm saying, build up. And Chris Dean, shout out to Chris Dean, Jinx at Boomhouse, man. He played the beat. He's a producer and he's an engineer, but he plays beats like he produces like secondhand. So he be playing stuff like, oh, I just made this beat. Like, it ain't that good. So I was sitting there one day and he put that on. And I'm like, bro, what is this? And he was just like, oh, I just threw this together. I'm like, man, let me get that. So he gave it to me. Like 2 days later, I did all the stuff, wrote it, came back and recorded. And I told him, I was like, my goal is for this to get, you know, on sports platforms, you know what I'm saying? Whether it be podcast, whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? Anything involving sports, since it has such a heavy sports theme, I'm trying to get that attached to anything. And we recorded it, it came out dope, and now we pushing it.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you had a couple, like,
a couple bars in there,
a couple
man.
Things in there, but one of them was the, what was it?
Which one?
It was the Murray's reference with the wave.
What was it? It was the Deontay, but on why the slickest Murray's wear the collar.
Yeah.
I remember that.
That was hard right there. Yeah. So I mean, there's a couple references in there.
But that was
the one that really caught me. And I texted you about it.
Yeah, you did. You texted me straight about. I was like, okay, he listening.
Yeah, because you already know how I am when I listen to music. I listen to words, man.
That's why I send you my stuff because I know, you know what I'm saying. I know that you're gonna pay attention.
I'm gonna listen to those words. I'm gonna listen to the beat. And then, but I'm gonna listen to the beat secondhand. The words, I listen to the lyrics
that's
first.
Foremost, yeah.
And then, like, when I get into like the third, fourth re-listen, then that's when I'm listening to the beat to see how everything flows.
Originally, I'm listening to what the words. Said.
Yeah, because I want to make sure it got some substance to it. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm cutting that shit off. But
look, you ain't cutting my stuff off, bro.
But
nah,
it was dope though. It was dope, like for sure.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
But yeah, so I mean, what else you want people to know about your music, man?
Man, besides that, I got a lot of stuff out already. So, you know what I'm saying? If you search in VZ on any streaming platform, you know what I'm saying? I have a plethora of singles. You know what I'm saying? Hennessy Is My Enemy, Nobody, Tenderoni. I got a lot of singles out there. I got a lot a compilation project that I was just a part of, the 420 project that came out on 420. I have Small City Big Dreams, which is based in Bremerton, that's coming out on the 29th. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be all over that project. It's like a compilation thing. I'm going to be all over that. I have a joint album with me and Jordy Salmon that's going to be coming out relatively soon. I have a single, a whole solo album that's coming out right after that. So, like, I got a lot of stuff cooking, you know what I'm saying, that's coming out. So you can find me on all streaming platforms. You can find me on social medias, you know what I'm saying, on Twitter, BigVZ210. On Instagram at VZ Music 210, Facebook if you just search VZ. I'm everywhere, man. So you can go and peep and listen to everything that I already have out there as right now.
Yeah, and I know you put out what was it? Your I guess an EP.
Noble Pepper. Noble Pepper came out in December. It came out December 11th. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it came out December 11th for last year, but that's a bop, you know what I'm saying? They got a lot of stuff on there that you can listen to, you know what I'm saying, in the meantime before some new stuff come out. But yeah, a Notebook Paper was like a low-key slept on, you know what I'm saying, thing. I made sure that it was kind of like under the radar, but it's definitely something that you can listen to from start to finish. You shouldn't have no issues.
I had to look it up. I forgot the name of it, but because I have it saved on my phone.
Yeah.
You already know I listened to it, but
I had it
saved on my phone. I had to look it up.
I sent it to you when it came out. Like, listen to Notebook Paper.
So, all right. So, check out Notebook Paper. Yeah, check out everything that VZ dropped.
Everything.
Like I said, you know, I'm going to put some links in the description so that way y'all can check out some of his music. It's
Touchdown
dope.
Touchdown up there?
Huh?
You see Touchdown?
Yeah, Touchdown. I already have it saved on my phone. You already know. But yeah, see, I knew I'm not gonna co-sign nothing that I think's terrible.
I know you won't. So, that's why I'm glad you promoted it, man.
I'm gonna keep it real with you. But yeah, we're gonna take a quick little break, and when we come back, we're gonna get into sports, man. We're gonna get into your Cowboys, and we're gonna get into playoff basketball.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Been like a touchdown. Been like a touchdown. 7-6 and rolling. I swear this feel like a touchdown. 7-6 is rolling, you know I don't do no bust now. All my niggas holding, you know I can get you touched now. Shouting in the crowd, I bet she gon' let me fuck now. Strolling in the end zone, I swear this feel like a touchdown. 7-6 is rolling, you know I don't do no bust now. All my niggas holding, you know I can get you touched now. Shouting in the crowd, I bet she gon' let me fuck now. Strolling in the end zone, I swear this feel like a touchdown. This felt like an easy six. Defense is retreating quick. No, I got that cannon on me and receivers on the whim. Welcome pressure, where's the blitz? Not afraid to take the risk. Swear to God, I hate to lose, but winning is my favorite shit. Swear that I was built just for survival. No Deontay, but I'm wilder. Slick as Murray's worth the collar. They can't keep up with my mileage. They like where he go to college. They say get him, yeah, I got him. Heat him up, yeah, I'ma hide him. Like I'm manning in a pocket, I drop back and then I lob it. I can throw it anywhere. Niggas catch it like they hoppers. It's too perfect, you can't pick this. But if I'm playing defense, you see how I'm moving like Ray Lewis. I swear this feel like a touchdown. 7-6 is rolling, you know I don't do no bust now. All my niggas holding, you know I can get you touched now. Shouting in the crowd, I bet she gon' let me fuck now. Strolling in the end zone, I swear this feel like a touchdown. 7-6 is rolling, you know I don't do no bust now. All my niggas holding, you know I can get you touched now. Shouting in the crowd, I bet she gon' let me fuck now. Strolling in the end zone, I swear this feel like a touchdown. I don't take L's, that's your story. Fuck fourth down, I'ma go for it. It's two ways that I like numbers. That's in the bank and on the scoreboard. Is he insane? I'm like, yes, Lord. Put the captain patch on my chest for it. They call it timeout, getting scared. I'm steady thinking about the next score. I make it rain, I'm forecasting. These niggas bike, no play action, no flags, baby, that's end zone. Whole team grounded like tempos. We stay down like 10 toes. I'm cashing in to the bank close. Gotta peep how I approach shit. I beat them deep, now they coach bitch. They don't know this, I'm strategic. Game plan on point. Ain't no way that you can beat it. Run your play and get defeated. Thought I didn't, but I seen it. By the end of any season, bet my record, I swear this feel like a touchdown. 7-6 is rolling, you know I don't do no bust now. All my niggas holding, you know I can get you touched now. Shouting in the crowd, I bet she gon' let me fuck now. Strolling in the end zone, I swear this feel like a touchdown. 7-6 is rolling, you know I don't do no bust now. All my niggas holding, you know I can get you touched now. Shouting in the crowd, I bet she gon' let me fuck now. Strolling in the end zone, I swear this feel like a touchdown.
All right, so we back from that quick little break. And so that was VZ's touchdown. Yeah. Hope y'all enjoyed that.
I hope y'all enjoyed that, man. Go listen to it.
I told y'all it's fire, man. It's fire. So I hope y'all enjoyed that. But anyway, we're going to get into this playoff basketball, man. And we're going to address the elephant in the room.
The Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, let's talk about it, man. So they got swept by the Boston Celtics. And I mean, if anybody, like, I didn't expect them to get swept, but if you watch Boston, you know, towards the end of the season, you could see Boston was really, like, coming.
I knew that the Nets was going to get swept the first game of the series.
Really?
And you know, yes. And you know how I knew? It's because there was a glaring disparity between the coaching of Ime Udoka and Steve Nash.
Yeah.
Ime Udoka grew up under the Pop tree. He played with the Spurs and everything. He knows how to coach. He knows situations. He knows matchups. Steve Nash is fresh in the coaching, straight from a Hall of Fame career. Not taking nothing away from Steve Nash, who was an excellent player. Mm-hmm. But he never coached in high school, college, nothing. So he was learning on the fly. Ime Udoka had already, he had already been an assistant coach. He had already been a special advisor up under Pop. He knew those, you know what I'm saying, those certain things. He knew how to get the certain matchups, how to scheme. The Nets just got out coached, bro. Yeah. It's not that, because in all reality, the Nets team was more talented than the Celtics team. It's just that the Nets team didn't have no direction. At the end of the day, when stuff got hard for the Nets, what'd they do? ISO.
They put Kyrie
on one side of the floor. I put everybody else on the other side. Or they put KD on the other side of the floor.
Nobody moved around.
No motion, no cutting, no screens, nothing. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I think that KD is looking at this like, man, you know what I'm saying? Golden State was a lot better. You know what I mean? It's like, bro, you could have just stayed.
It's a lot easier when you had Steph,
when you
Clay,
had those
Draymond.
Other people. Man, Kyrie, and another glaring disparity, Kyrie is not a leader.
He's not. We knew
Kyrie,
that.
We knew that but this Cleveland proved
days,
it. This proved.
The Boston days.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This proved. This solidified that he is not a leader.
No.
Bro. He's an excellent number two. An excellent number two. To the point where you think he could be a number one. But he is not a leader.
He's a tremendous player, but he's not a leader.
He can't lead a team. KD, at this point, I don't think that he can lead a team either.
I don't know, man.
Because he didn't lead OKC. They didn't make it. He went to the Warriors, and he had Steph, Clay, and Draymond and that whole conglomerate. They already had their thing going on. They had won championships before he got there.
Yeah.
Then he goes to the Nets, and he don't do nothing. He got bounced, what, first round this year? What was the other year? Did they get bounced first round or second round?
I think it was the first round
That's what
last
I'm saying.
Year.
Either way, you got bounced. Yeah, either way, you got bounced, bro. Like, you can't – if you're supposed to be that dude, you're supposed to be the best player in the NBA – you gotta make stuff happen, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta make stuff happen. Even if that means clashing with your coach, clashing with the other quote unquote alpha player and Kyrie, you gotta make stuff happen. And he didn't do it. Like,
yeah,
you can't put
sure.
him, you cannot put him in the greatest player conversation after this performance. Plus, he was inefficient. He had a bad shooting, you know what I'm saying, shooting performance from the field in that series. It's like, I can't warrant putting you in the top, you know what I'm saying, in the top conversation when you can't do this. Now, granted, I understand that after Kyrie, it was a serious drop-off, but my thing is, if that was LeBron, he'd have made something happen. And as much as people like to talk about LeBron, he'd have made something happen. If that was Jordan, he'd have made something happen. You know what I'm saying?
No,
if that
for
sure. was D-Wade, he'd have made something happen. You didn't. You know what I mean? You didn't. At the end of the day, I can't consider you top five if you can't even get your team past the first round with somebody like Kyrie on your team.
That's facts.
Like, that's ridiculous,
that's
bro.
That's facts.
Like, you didn't do your job, period.
Yeah.
Fact. Just period.
And really the big thing with that team is that they don't have a true facilitator. And so that was
why. They don't have a true point guard.
Well, that was the thing. So, like, with James Harden, you know,
I think that's why they went towards Dragic. You know what I'm saying? Why they signed Dragic?
But
I mean, Dragic is a little bit older. You know what I mean? He done been through a lot, you know, as far as playoff kids are concerned. But he's just not as capable. And even when you mention Harden, I don't think Harden is as capable as he used to be. Before that team specifically? For that team specifically, he would have fit for the Nets.
For what they needed, he fit.
For what they needed.
Like I said, he's a facilitator.
In Philly, I feel like he's getting exposed right now, bro.
He's not getting. For people that watch basketball, he's not getting exposed. We knew this about Harden. He doesn't show up in the playoffs.
He doesn't show up in the playoffs, and I just think that specifically he lost a step.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think
that he can get past dudes as easily as he could, and like Houston Harden, he's a little bit older. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
But
he
also,
lost a little bit.
I think that's why, like, the thing with Ben Simmons, and now you know, like with Ben Simmons,
I have no respect for Ben Simmons.
I don't really think Ben Simmons is a true competitor.
He's not, bro.
But like with Ben Simmons, that's what he like. So
that's what they were missing.
The two good things that Ben Simmons is good at are the two things that they're missing.
Exactly.
So defense and facilitating.
Yeah.
He's great.
He
would have
did great
things.
At both of those by default.
But they were missing that, and so it didn't work out. And so with Ben Simmons, like, and I don't even, you know, I don't know really what's going on with him. I know some things came out about him still struggling mentally.
I feel that, but I take the approach that Stephen A. said. It's just like, If you really going through something mentally, then I understand. You know what I'm saying? I understand that that's serious. That's nothing to joke about. That's no games being played. Like, that's for real. But I feel like he's using that as a crutch.
He could be.
100%. So nobody can attack him or say anything to him. Because, let's just be honest, you quit on your LSU. You quit on Philly.
But you know what I'm saying? You also got to remember back in the like the Olympics and stuff, he quit on the Aussies.
Quit, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He quit on them. He quit on Australia. He quit on the LSU. He quit multiple times in his career. This is just him at this point.
Yeah.
This is not nobody trying to make, you know, jump to conclusions or make excuses. This is just this man's track record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is what he's proven to do. I personally don't think, for as skilled and as talented as he is, I don't think he has the mental fortitude.
Yeah, I don't think he has the mental.
He don't have the mental fortitude to do it, man. Like, they brought in Ray Allen when he was when Philly to work on his shot, and he got offended.
Yeah.
Like, come on, bro. This is Jesus Shuttlesworth. This is one of the greatest shooters of literally NBA history. They bring him in to help you work on your shot, and you get offended? Like, you can't shoot. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is no diss to you. You literally cannot shoot, bro.
You're not a shooter.
You're not a shooter. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why we brought in somebody to help you. And you get offended?
Yeah.
And then you turn your back on the city of Philly, who did nothing but accept you and wait for you the first 2 years when he was injured, and you do them like that? Like, I don't understand what Brooklyn thought was going to happen when he got there.
I mean, the thing is like, sometimes a fresh start helps things, especially when you're in a situation that's where, you remember after Game 7 against Atlanta, I think it was last year, where Doc didn't really show him any support. Then you had Embiid saying the things he was saying.
Up an open layup under
the
rim,
I get it,
bro.
But what I'm saying is, like, when Doc was telling him, like,
I get it, but Doc is a strategic person. This is a championship-winning coach. He's not saying nothing like that.
I don't know, man. I don't trust Doc.
I trust – he won a championship. When I think – put it like
did.
This.
I'm saying I don't trust
I
him
I trust
as
him
strategic.
More than Ben Simmons.
No, I'm talking about I don't trust him as far as strategic.
I trust him more than Ben Simmons.
We've seen Doc's situation.
I trust him more than Ben Simmons.
No, yeah.
I will take his word and whatever he says over Ben Simmons any day.
No, but I'm saying when –
the X's and O's – yeah, because he didn't lost 3-1 leads.
But when Doc came out after that game and he was like, I don't know if we can win a championship with Ben. So that right there.
He didn't lie, though.
But, I mean, he kind of did, because they're not going to win a championship without him either.
Look, as of right now, they're in a better position to win a championship without him.
Are they, though?
Yeah, because Ben is not going to shoot.
But
he's scared to get fouled.
But
he's scared to even shoot
that,
the free throws.
But so, like, when you look at it, right, so you trade one guy who's not going to play.
The only thing that I was upset with that trade is that they got rid of Steph Curry. They should not have done that.
But that's what I'm. So that's what I'm saying.
That was crucial.
I don't think they're in a better position to win a championship now than they were when they had been, because you traded away pieces that you needed.
That you needed.
And,
I feel that.
And then you get
that.
A guy in James Harden who doesn't show up in the playoffs. So you give away Ben, who doesn't show up.
You
in
like
the playoffs.
Stalemated. You know what I'm saying?
You
like you didn't. Yeah, you
so
didn't really
why,
do much.
That's
yeah.
why I really don't think they're in a better position, because and now. 3-2 against Toronto when they had
I know
a,
when
they
should they should have blown out Toronto
yeah so
they should have beat at best they should have gave Toronto the gentleman sweep at 3-1
yeah exactly and so that's what I'm saying where I mean I get it like if Ben Simmons is struggling with some mental issues cool I understand like you know it is what it is and it's hard
he's
to come back
soft.
From that he is soft he's soft,
soft.
That's you know that's the
SOF
thing with Ben,
capital
like,
T
I think
soft,
when you try to do anything to help him or to
he takes it as
or
like
you,
a jab.
If you criticize him in any kind of way,
he takes
then he
it
gets
as
upset.
Like, yeah, and it's just like, bro, I'm trying to help your
shell.
Career. You know what I'm saying? Like at the end of the day, if you can't shoot a mid-range jumper, bro, you like what can you, the way that the league is moving to now is you at least got to be able to stretch the floor if you're that tall. He can't even hit a mid-range jumper. You know, he won't even shoot it. Not saying that he can't hit it. And he shoot it.
But
he
see,
got that
that's
percentage.
The thing. It was
he
it
won't
was
even
only,
take the jumper.
It was only
bro.
That series. So like, you know, when you go back and you look at all, everything else
it's
Ben
not
has done,
just that series.
No,
bro.
It was. So like, when you go back and you look,
I mean,
at
that
everything
was the
else,
glaring.
That was where it was like, boom,
yeah,
like
yeah,
in
yeah,
your
yeah.
face. I'm not shooting. I'm not going to the foul line.
You saying that like basically. he didn't need to do that other stuff in the other series. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't as big of a weakness until he got.
But I mean, he was scoring in other series.
Yeah, he was still
even,
doing this,
even
yeah.
throughout like the regular season. He was still getting scores. To the cup. Like yeah. he like what last year he had a game where he went off for 42 against Utah. Like I mean. We know he can score, but it was just it was that series against Atlanta. I don't know.
My thing is
he got into his head too much.
I definitely think he got in his head and he started believing that he couldn't score. You know what I'm saying? Outside the paint. But if you're in that situation, you know that these people that's gonna key in on you on certain things. You got to at least take the shot.
Yeah, no, you do.
Like, you got to at least take them. To keep the defense honest, if
you
were
wide open under the basket.
You wide open under the basket. You can't pass that off what's his name? To Matthias Thybulle. You know, just take that.
Yeah.
You can't do that, bro. That's ridiculous.
Hold on. We're going to take another quick little break, and then we're going to go Deontay, but I'm wide as slick as Murray's worth the collar. They can't keep up with my mileage. They like when he go to college. They say, get him, yeah. All right, so we back from that quick little break. The little kid was calling me, just calling my name over and over again. But anyway, all right, so let's get back into this to the basketball discussion. We were talking about Ben Simmons, Brooklyn Nets, but let's get it because we started talking about Toronto or started talking about the 76ers. So let's talk about that series, man. So Embiid is hurt again, his thumb.
Yeah.
James Harden is shooting like 32% from the field.
He don't look like. But the thing is with James is he don't look like he can do the stuff that he was doing in Houston no more. Like, he can't get past his defenders like he used to.
I mean, yeah, but...
He can still shoot. He can still do all the skill things.
I don't even know
things.
If he can shoot.
I think he can still shoot because that's a skill. You don't lose
I mean,
that.
No, you don't lose the skill, but, like,
it's
the
still
thing,
there, but I definitely don't think he can get past his man like he used to.
Yeah, no, I don't think he can do that either. But, like, the thing with James Harden, regular season, James Harden goes out there and he puts on a clinic. You know, he shoots high percentage
and
everything.
He has a knack for not showing up.
But then in the playoffs, he's like 32%. Like, he's getting open shots. Like, he's getting open threes. And he's missing.
Facts.
And so, you know, they were up 3-0 against the Toronto Raptors. I honestly had the Raptors winning this series because their length, I figured, would give the 76ers problems. And you got Scottie Barnes, who of course just won Rookie of the Year, but he's defensive. He can facilitate. He can do everything. Pascal, you got
OG on the newbie. Kim Birch. You got
a lot of bodies that you can throw at Embiid, that you can throw at Harden. You got a lot of length on that team. So I honestly figured they would win this series, and then Philly went up 3-0.
I think with Van Fleet being out, that they're missing a large part of their scoring.
I think that helps them.
Really?
They won two games with Van Fleet damn near not doing anything.
They have won two games with Van Fleet being
because they figured they had to get the scoring from other places.
Yeah, I just don't think as far as defensively, I don't think it's as great as a help.
No, and the thing is that I really thought, like, you know, this series, like I said, I thought Toronto was going to win, but then those first two games, I was like, oh, man, they outmatched. Man. They got smacked, and then they lost at home.
I will say this. Nick Nurse is a great coach.
He is.
Nick Nurse is a great coach. He deserves a lot of credit for that roster because that roster is not the greatest, just to be honest.
Yeah, 100%.
That roster is not the greatest, and they still figure out how to win, you know what I'm saying? How to take advantage of the matchups they have. He's a great X and O's coach. I give him that.
Yeah. Nah, 100%. All right, let's talk about who else we got. We got the Grizzlies and Minnesota, man.
Man.
Two young teams.
I'm loving this series. I'm loving this series right now.
Me too.
I'm really loving this series right now. I'm thinking, like, how Ja can get over the hump of what's his name, Pat Bev,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, Ant-Man, Carl Anthony Towns,
Cat soft.
I was just about to say, I think Carl Anthony Towns is soft, bro.
He is.
Like, I think that to be that big and to be that, you know, assertive and have that much skill offensively, there's no reason why you shouldn't have 25 again.
And he's very inconsistent. Like, that's what pisses me off.
He can shoot. He can shoot. He can score in the post. He can dribble and get his little shot. He can drive. Why do you have 8 points, bro? Like, there's no reason.
No reason
there's
whatsoever,
no
bro.
Reason whatsoever. That you, I don't care how good the defense is. Off fouls alone and free throws, you should be at least getting 15, 20.
Exactly.
There's no reason you should have 8 points. You should have more fouls or more turnovers. That's ridiculous, bro.
Yeah.
The exactly. only person that's hooping full-time on the Timberwolves is Anthony Edwards. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Ant-Man going crazy.
Ant-Man going hard. But Pat Bev is giving the effort, but he be getting in foul trouble. But to me, if you want to win
Bev
this series,
y'all, man.
He do. He put up the fool's gold numbers. If you let him win the championship as far as Minnesota, Carl Anthony Towns got to be giving you 30 a game. Facts. He got to be giving you 30 a game. Like, there's no way you can just downplay that. Like, he can't be playing subpar.
No.
He's one of your star players. He's the only other star player besides Ant. If he ain't scoring at the same clip as Ant, then you're going to lose every time.
Yep.
And every game that they lost, he didn't do nothing.
Let's talk about Ja Morant, man, because Buddy took Malik Beasley's life.
Whole
and
soul.
Then, and then he
took his whole soul.
Went and hit the game-winning layup,
man,
last night.
Ja Morant is somebody that you want to have on your team. Ja Morant is the dude that's like, maybe I don't have the highest three-point percentage. Maybe I don't, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the knock on
Ja's
him.
Ja's a dog, man.
That's what I'm saying. He's that dude that at the end of the game, it's 15 seconds left. I need to get a bucket. Who's the leader in my huddle? He is.
Yeah,
you know what
like,
I'm saying?
I mean,
like, he's that
first,
dude that you want to depend on.
He hit his
you
first
just,
three.
You just
and
know.
Like,
at the, yeah, he yeah, missed. He was 0 for 3. You know what I'm saying? He hit it at the end of the game. I want somebody like him in my huddle. Like, yeah. Is he going to take over? Is he going to do these things? That's the dude that you want in your huddle. I'll take him off Cat any day.
Yeah, for sure. Any day.
And I don't care what my roster makeup looks like. I'll take him over Cat. Easily,
yeah,
anyway.
For sure. Ja's a leader, like we said with Kyrie.
He's
you could
built,
tell,
yeah, he's built to
we
be.
We could tell
a leader.
Kyrie's not really a leader,
he's not
but
a
you
leader.
Can see
yeah.
Ja is legit a leader of that team.
He's one
and
of
he,
the
he leads them dudes, he leads them dudes, yeah. Yeah, they follow his lead. And even though that team is young, like they've been balling, like he what he do, he gave
bro, Bane surprised me,
yeah, Bane,
bro.
And he gave Bane his MIP,
yeah,
trophy.
He did, yeah. Desmond Bane surprised me, like dudes that have come off the bench, Xavier Tillman. You know what I'm saying? Like, these is quality people, you know what I'm saying, that they don't even really get too much TikTok in Memphis because you
yeah.
got, like, Steven Adams, you got Jaren Jackson, you got Brandon Clark, but they got people on the bench that can hoop.
Yeah,
like,
for
real,
sure.
For real, yeah. That,
I mean, you, what, Tyus Jones come off the bench?
I forgot about Tyus Jones. Yeah, Tyus Jones is nice, bro.
So, I mean, yeah, they got some dudes on the bench that can hoop, and this series has been by far the most entertaining, mainly, I guess, because Minnesota – they just continue to blow leads. Like, they had 2 20-point leads in
man.
What game? What was it, game three?
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a 13-point lead this game in the fourth
two
quarter.
20-point lead.
And they
the
blew
game,
that
man.
Lead. It's been
basically,
crazy, man.
Basically, if Minnesota don't beat you by 70, then you got a chance to come back,
you got a chance to come back.
You got a chance to come back. You're going to make it back on them, but they're not doing as much.
Yeah, Minnesota, man. I thought this was going to be a sweep, to be honest, but Minnesota.
I figured Minnesota was going to get one.
They
just
legit.
Off the feistiness of Pat Bev, I figured they was going to get one.
Pat Bev be fooling everybody, man. But anyway, yeah. So we talking about Memphis and Minnesota, and so you got, like I said, I really thought Memphis was going to sweep this series, but Minnesota has some feistiness in them. They got some fight in them. Cat comes through every now and then, but Ant-Man, like you said. He's been carrying the load for that team. Patrick Beverley, although I think he'd be fooling people, he is the energy for that team.
Yeah.
He's the one that, yeah. that gets them going.
He starts stuff off.
Yeah, he starts stuff off for them. So, you know, they've made this into a very good series. I think
interesting,
what, Memphis is up 3-2 now.
Memphis is going to close it out.
Yeah, Memphis is going to close it out
they're
in Minnesota, I believe, out, yeah. on the on Friday. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I'm hoping, man.
They're going to close it out.
I'm hoping that happens.
I'm confident they're going to close it out.
Another
at the end of the day, they don't have nobody that can check Ja.
No.
Period.
Yeah, nobody can guard Ja.
Period.
Nobody on their team can guard
nobody.
Ja.
Nobody. Yeah.
Another fun series has been Phoenix and New Orleans.
I've been surprised by that series. I ain't going to lie. I give, what's his name? Was it David Griffin? The GM?
The GM, I think so,
the GM
yeah.
GM for New Orleans. He used to be the GM for the
Cavs.
The Cavs
yep.
when LeBron was there. I give him a lot of credit, man. He has a lot of people on that roster that I didn't expect was going to be that good or that effective. You know what I'm saying? He has a lot of people on that roster that I respect, and I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, you see what they're trying to build.
The trade for McCollum was huge.
It was.
It was huge. It was because huge that gives them a closer. That gives them somebody that can handle the ball. You know, I mean, honestly, since Lonzo left, there was nobody that was a for sure ball handler, you know?
Yeah.
McCollum gives him that option to be able to be a ball handler, and he can score, get his own shot, plus he can facilitate if need be. I think that saves Zion from leaving. If it wasn't for McCollum getting traded and how they're performing, their performance so far within the playoffs is, to me, enough. If I'm Zion, to me, be like, all right, cool.
You think I'm Zion staying. come back into the playoffs if they make it past this round?
For sure.
Yeah, if they have a chance, if they have to,
he gotta come back.
Yeah, if they have
because
a chance.
you gotta at least see what this roster will look like with him.
I think,
and if he's healthy, I'm telling you, bro.
With B.I., CJ?
First of all, B.I. is a beast. I've been telling people that for the longest. I'm like, bro, he's like mini Kevin Durant.
Yeah, like, I mean,
he's like a great value version of Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is so good that even a great value version of him is something that I can work with.
Yeah.
Not to mention they have CJ. And then Zion is hurt. So it's like, if Zion was there, everything in the paint, you can't do nothing with because he's going to kill you.
Plus, Zion played 62 games last year and averaged 27.
I'm saying off like 60-something percent shooting.
Yeah.
As a forward, bro, I'm like, bro, the dude, you can't stop him from getting to the paint, period. You know what I mean? Only thing that you can do is hope he misses free throws and his jumper's starting to get better. You know what I mean? It's like, once he develops a decent jumper, he don't even got to be great. If he develops a decent jumper and if he develops an okay outside shot, it's nothing that you can do with that team because specifically they can get in the paint and kill you all day. Or if they decide, okay, y'all flooding the paint, all right, cool, we'll just rain threes from that. Nick Marshall, excellent pick. And I really, really feel in his game right now. He plays defense, plus, you know what I'm saying, he can shoot and stuff like that. That's the type of stuff that you need around somebody like Zion.
Yep.
Zion ain't the biggest to play his position, but he's athletic
but
and strong
and
faster
big
than everybody else he's playing against. They might be taller than him, but he's bigger, stronger, athletic, more faster. You know what I'm saying? Everybody again. If you have B.I. and then C.J. McCollum, then you got somebody like Murphy. Then Alvarado, I think he's super valuable, bro.
But him, so Alvarado and Herb Jones.
Herb Jones, yeah. That's the one I was talking about.
He is.
Them dudes, man, as far as defense, like, you can deploy them on, you can deploy Alvarado on whoever the best perimeter player is. You could deploy Herb Jones
and
on whoever.
He's a pest, bro.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You could deploy Herb Jones on whoever permanent player or somebody inside. He can do both. So it's just like, bro, that is. And you got them on rookie contracts as of right now. And I know that's messed up to say, but just from a business standpoint, that's what I'm saying. Facts is that they're rookies.
Yeah.
You can take advantage of their rookie contracts for the next 2 years, you know what I'm saying, without having to pay them
before
no big
have
extensions.
Before you got to give them some money.
Yeah, before you got to give them some big money. If they don't build around Zion, they're stupid.
Well, they are. I think with CJ,
they should be smart enough to do it. That trade for CJ was genius.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't like it when it happened because they was thinking that, like, Portland did CJ wrong. Like, they should trade him to a title contender. But they put him in a spot where he can succeed.
To be honest, I didn't think it was a good trade because
it was
CJ McCollum.
No ball handlers on New Orleans. Especially with Zion being gone.
Yeah.
There was nothing that you looked at New Orleans for besides CJ when he got there. He can handle the ball. He can distribute the ball. Plus, he can score.
This I feel is like Brandon Ingram's coming out party. I mean, people
Brandon
knew that.
Brandon Ingram is cold, bro.
People knew he was good.
He is mini KD. But I tell people, he's 6'9". You know what I mean? He can get his shot off anywhere. He can drive. He got the same build as KD. Slim, slender.
Yeah, he's slender.
You know what I'm saying? He can handle the ball. He can pull up over anybody. Plus, he can get to the basket. He's mini KD, bro.
Yeah.
If he starts hitting consistent jumpers, what you going to do with him?
But his mid-range is nasty, just like KD's is.
Yeah.
The mid-range is disgusting. But, I mean, like I said, people knew he was good. But the thing is that what are you going to do when the playoffs happen and the lights come on?
Yeah, when he starts zeroing in on you. Yeah.
And he's proven that he can carry that load.
I can do that, yeah.
Yeah, like he can do that in the playoffs. and he's been phenomenal. So you know that's been great for them. I think they turned this into a series, especially when I honestly thought they were just gonna win one game. I said they was gonna beat the Clippers in the play-in, and then they was gonna win one game against the Suns, and that was it.
That's what I thought.
And they won two of them things, and they go back to New Orleans to play Game 6, and they could really force a Game 7, man. If they come out, pull all the stops like they did in Game, what was it? Four.
I think they can definitely, yeah, four. Yeah, where they won that one. I think they can definitely pull out a Game 7, and to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they win it.
Yeah, and I mean,
it wouldn't
and
shock me if they won it.
Without Devin Booker, I think it's, you know, it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Paul's not going to. He'll have a good game, and then he'll have a mediocre game. Yeah, he's 37, so it's harder
to keep
those games back to back to back.
You need that sidekick, to take the pressure off you. He don't have his in Devin Booker right now.
Exactly.
So I definitely think that is. The West has become susceptible to anybody winning that right now with the injuries that's going on in the West. The East, I think, is pretty locked up so far.
Yeah, for sure.
If it ain't, I honestly don't think Milwaukee is going to come out of the East.
Who you got coming out the East?
Either Miami or Boston.
I was about to say, you better say Miami.
I think it's either Miami or Boston. And I'm honestly leaning towards Miami is because y'all have more. Like, Victor Oladipo just coming into his own, and he's been injured this whole time.
He shot 50% last night.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, like, y'all have too many defenders, you know what I'm saying, that can stop other offensive threats.
That's what I was telling people coming into the playoffs. Because people are like, oh, y'all don't score a lot of points.
It don't matter.
We don't have to. We
don't have to if they're not scoring. You know what I'm saying?
We play defense. That's all that matters.
If I can shut down Trent to have 10 points with P.J. Tucker? Not even my best, you know what I'm saying?
PJ Tucker and Bam Adebayo shut that boy down.
PJ Tucker hooping, bro. PJ Tucker, Bam Adebayo, like he, you see that last possession? It's like, bro, on a possession, Trae Young had, before it was, who was on him originally? It was Kyle Lowry that was on him. He switched off and Bam was on him. And then he switched off from that and Jimmy Butler was on him. Like, what you supposed to do, bro?
Exactly. And that's what Trey said the other day, or said yesterday, where Miami just has a bunch of bodies
they got
to throw at you.
A lot of people to throw at you, bro. Like, and they got people on the bench that you think, like, oh, okay. Like, Gabe Vincent be hooping. You know what I'm saying?
Victor Caleb Lepico, Martin be hooping.
Caleb Martin be hooping.
Max Strus got the strap.
Max Strus be hooping. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what you going to do now? Victor Oladipo back and he healthy. Now he hooping.
Yep.
Kyle Lowry hooping. Like, the people that you don't... When you think of the Heat, you think of Adebayo. You think of, you know what I'm saying?
Jimmy.
You think Tyler Hero. You don't think of these people that's going to strap you up defensively. Like, that's a big move to make, bro.
Yep.
That's for real a big move.
So I'm hoping they do something. You know, they gave him a little gentleman sweep, so we good with that. Yeah, I could see that. We play the winner of the 76ers in Toronto next. I would rather the Sixers over Toronto, though, personally.
Oh, the Sixers, I feel like Heat would beat either one of them.
Oh, I think we'll beat either one of them, but I think Toronto would give us the most.
Easier? Yeah.
I think Toronto would give us the issues.
Nah.
Yeah, because
they don't have no prolific score.
But Toronto plays us well.
They do play out well, but they also
they don't have a prolific
basketball.
No, it is.
They don't have a prolific score.
No, they don't.
Joel
no.
Embiid is a prolific scorer. Toronto don't have that.
But Joel's
they have a
hurt.
Lot of people that can chip in. Yeah, he's hurt, but his thumb is hurt. You know what I'm saying?
That's big. It was what is it? His right thumb.
It is his right thumb, but I mean, like, at the end of the day, he can still score with that.
Yeah, he can still score, but
at him at that level that he's at right now, scoring at that level with his hurt thumb is better than anybody scoring on Toronto. Just facts. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's better than anybody scoring on their best day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Like, ain't Scottie Barnes, Thaddeus Young, none of them is gonna put up Joel Embiid numbers. You know what I'm saying?
So, nah,
like,
I feel you.
Like, I feel like it should do something.
I feel you that. I don't know, man. Like, because what? Joel struggled the past, what, two games since that information came out about his thumb? Like, without them shooting free throws, like, Joel's numbers would look very pedestrian without him getting free throws. So, I don't know. I think that's a big thing for Philly. And then, like I said, James Harden. The thing with Toronto is just that anybody can get hot at any given time. They play defense just like we do. They haven't played very well defense against Philly.
They don't have as many household names as far as defense, they do play good team defense.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Then we have Dallas and Utah. Before the series, I said I didn't trust Utah even without Luka. I didn't trust Utah, and it came out. Dallas won two of those three games without Luka. And now Dallas is on the verge of winning this playoff series.
I don't trust, just like Stephen A said, I don't trust Utah because they have all the stuff. I think their glaring weakness, and to be honest, and a lot of people don't agree with me, I think their glaring weakness is Rudy Gobert.
I think it's Gobert, and I think it's their perimeter defense. They have no perimeter defense.
They don't have a defender on the perimeter that can stop anything. Mm-mm. And I also think that when people start switching shit on him, they got to put Gobert on somebody, he can eat up.
He gets eaten up around the perimeter.
Gobert doesn't fit today's NBA.
So that's what I was telling somebody the other day.
If you was talking about Gobert in a Jordan era, he'd be an all-star killing you know what I'm saying, everything. But in today's NBA, he can't stretch the floor. He can't defend those people out there, you know what I'm saying, when he does. And his shot blocking is negated if I can get past you 2 feet to get this layup. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, he's just not – the problem is that Utah's going to have is that you can't trade somebody like this because where's he going to go? Where they're going to pay him what you paid him? And to be as effective. He's not going to be as effective. The game is trending him out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you can't trade him somewhere to where he's going to be effective and get equal value back for him. Like, you essentially going to have to release him and just eat that. You know what I'm saying? In today's league, if you're not... What's the old boy name for Phoenix? Mikal Bridges? You know what I'm saying? Who could switch, play bigs and smalls? A 7'2" dude is a liability.
I mean, unless you're DeAndre Ayton, who can give you some offense and can play defense.
He can at least give you the offense, and he got a little bit of quickness to where he can at least... Yeah. Stay in front of the people out there. Rudy Gobert is his target.
Yeah,
on offense.
That's why they don't mind switching with him.
Yeah,
that's what I try to tell somebody the other day.
In front of him as a forward or guard, he'll eat him up. He simply can't stick in front of him.
That's what I tried to tell somebody the other day. Where that's why teams or players don't mind putting him in the pick and roll, because if he switches on him, they know he's barbecue
food.
Chicken.
That's food, bro. You're gonna eat him up. Yeah,
barbecue chicken all day, every day. And so. So, yeah, this series to me is done. They play tomorrow, or they play tonight.
Utah can't win.
Dallas and Utah. So, you know.
Rest if Luka plays, they can't win.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't. And Luka will, because, I mean, he played the other night.
That last game.
Yeah, so.
They lost, didn't they?
Yep. Yeah. And Luka put on a show. He put on a clinic. So, I mean. I know he I saw a video of him toying with Gobert down in the paint. Like, he was putting the ball behind his back, put it to the side, and then laid it up. And there was nothing Gobert could do.
He's gonna be killing him, bro. There's nothing that they can do about that.
All right, let's change a little bit. Let's go a little bit different direction. Let's head over to the NFL.
Mm.
You know, your Cowboys, man. Cowboys man. Are on the clock. Yeah. It's draft Thursday. So, you know, there's been some talk about y'all trading up and, you know, potentially getting somebody moving up into, like, the top. Well, y'all are at, like, 24 right now.
Yeah, we like 24.
So, moving up and trading up. Because y'all got a lot of picks.
We do got – well, because of the Amari Cooper trade, we got a couple of picks.
Yeah, so what do you think y'all do in the draft, man? What are y'all needs that y'all need to address?
Me, personally, what I think that we need to address – I think we need to address either offensive line or defensive backfield. Our defensive line can wait until the second or third round. We can find something in there, unless it's a deal too good to be true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we can trade up and find something, you know what I'm saying, that's higher. They talking about trading with Seattle for number 9 because Seattle's content with their quarterbacks that they have. If we trade up to number 9, then two things is in that reach. Evan Neal and Kyle Hamilton. There's not going to be no defensive lineman that's going to – not the elite defensive lineman that's going to be available in that reach at 9.
Yeah.
I think that we can either get one of them offensive linemen at the end, depending on how the draft goes, or we can get, you know what I'm saying, a defensive back at the end. Like, I'm personally targeting – the three people I'm targeting is Evan Neal from Alabama,
mm-hmm.
Sauce Gardner from Cincinnati, and Kyle Hamilton from Notre Dame. If we can get either one, either three of those people, even the center, I can't forget what his name is.
Lindenbaum.
Lindenbaum. I'll be cool with that because he can play guard too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be cool with that if it happens to just fall like that. But I definitely think that if we have a an offer to trade up, we should definitely take that.
Yeah. I mean, I joke around, but I can see it happening. Y'all trade up and get another receiver. I know you don't want that.
I don't think we need it at this point. We can find either receivers in the draft later in the rounds, mm-hmm. especially with how this receiver class is with as many people running sub-4.3. Or we can find somebody in free agency.
Yeah.
It's a lot of receivers that's out there that's free agents right now that we can get that can, you know what I'm saying, that can cause some noise. Me personally, I've been an advocate of re-signing Dez as a tight end. As a backup tight end. What can it hurt?
Dead ship is sell, man.
What can it hurt? At least put him in the you know what I'm saying, in the offseason workouts. If he don't make it, you know what I'm saying, we can cut him. But I don't, as far as possession, as in like the red zone situation, I don't think it can hurt us.
Yeah, no, I get you.
We cut Blake Jarwin. We only got Schultz.
Y'all got Schultz though.
So it's just like, why not? You know what I'm saying? Why not at least give him a chance?
But there are some tight ends in this draft.
It is some tight ends in this draft as far as deep talent for tight ends is actually pretty deep. So I mean, there are some people we can draft, and I assume that second or third round we'll probably draft it. More likely third round we'll draft. You'll draft tight end.
I think Jelani Woods would be there in the third round.
Yeah, that's literally what I was thinking.
Yeah, so or the guy from Texas A&M, Windermeyer.
Yeah, but I want Woods.
Yeah, I want Woods too.
I want Jelani Woods. He probably will, but yes, you're right. Jelani Woods will probably be there around that age, around that time. I definitely think that Jerry Jones is finna trade up, though.
Yeah, that's
he's been Jerry's talking about it. And we know when Jerry talk about stuff, he finna do it. You know what I'm saying? So
that's one thing you know Jerry gonna do. My thing is though, if Seattle does trade that number 9 pick, I think the people of Seattle should riot. Because
so as far as their quarterback options right now, they have what, Drew Locke?
Drew Locke. They got
unless they trade for Bank.
What's
Baker?
His name?
Who?
Drew Locke, Jacob Eason.
Oh, fuck.
And the dude that Geno Smith. They re-signed Geno. I think they're gonna trade for Baker on draft night.
I think they should, to be honest. If anything, you should send Geno with whatever that trade is.
They're not gonna send another quarterback. I think the Browns just got like three quarterbacks, including Deshaun Watson. Because they signed Jacoby Brissett, yeah, and then they signed somebody else.
They signed somebody else?
Yeah, they signed somebody else.
I know they signed Brissett, yeah.
So I don't think they'll take another quarterback.
For sure, Brissett is backing up
Deshaun. Mm-hmm. But I think they should send maybe a third, fourth rounder in to get Baker. I don't think they should trade out of their number 9 pick because I think there's too much. No, not for Baker. I'm just saying in general. Like, there's too much talent at number 9. You still have Jermaine Johnson, the edge rusher from FSU. There's positions that they need to address.
That you can fill.
Yeah. And, I mean, I understand acquiring more draft picks or whatever if you trade.
I understand acquiring a franchise quarterback, but at where they at 9, I don't think that nobody's a franchise.
I don't think there's any franchise quarterbacks, like first-year franchise quarterbacks.
No,
I mean,
not first-year.
Like, sure. Malik Willis has the most upside.
He has the most upside, but I definitely think he has to sit a year.
He has to go to the right situation. Seattle's not the right situation.
No. I low-key, and I know this is my bias, and I don't really have a reason. I really want him to go to Pittsburgh just because Mike Tomlin is a black coach. And hopefully they can do something there. But my fear is with him going to Pittsburgh, they're going to push him out too early.
Yeah. I think Mitch Trubisky going to do something this year. A little bit. He's going to do a little bit this year.
Everybody was comparing Mitch Trubisky to old boy in Buffalo, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, nah. I don't see it.
I ain't going to lie. Josh Allen surprised me. When he first came into the league, I did not think he was going to be.
Josh Allen just had the big arm.
He definitely had a big arm, and he had all the physical attributes. I just didn't think he was going to be what he is now.
Yeah.
I'll take him over Trubisky any day.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, with Dallas, do you think It's because you don't want to take a receiver in the first round.
I do not want to take a receiver.
Do you think CD is ready to be that number one?
I think that if we can get with the tight end that we have, the two particular running backs that we have, and then the full receiving core, because I'm assuming that old boy from last year we drafted. What's his name? Simi Fako.
Oh, yeah. From Stanford.
I think that he could at least play a decent role. You know, he could play the Cedric Wilson role. Not that Cedric Wilson isn't there.
Yeah.
I think it hurts that we had to let go of Cedric Wilson, but he was going to want too much money anyway, so I understand that. CD is still going to be, I think to a certain extent, he's still going to be CD. Michael Gallup is going to come back strong, I anticipate.
But he won't come back until what, like November?
Yeah, he's going to miss like the first like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Is it first 2 weeks?
Yeah, first week or 2 weeks is what they're saying. So I do think that at least the first week of the season, we definitely going to have to run the ball, which is why I confer with us picking an offensive lineman. I'm not mad at that.
Do you think y'all should get another running back then? Or do you think Zeke would be all right?
I think that, to be honest with you, I think that we'll be okay with Zeke being, him and Pollard being where they are. Zeke is under contract, Pollard's under contract. Mm-hmm. I do think eventually, if Pollard becomes, you know what I'm saying, like an active part of our offense, that Zeke becomes expendable.
Yeah.
Especially with his contract. You know what I'm saying? I think that he becomes expendable, and I know people don't like to hear that. That's just facts. People got to understand the NFL is a business. You know what I'm saying? So, like, your favorite homegrown player can get traded tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
my thing with Zeke is just that, and I mean, I know he was
injured last year. I will say this with Zeke, he don't get enough opportunities, bro.
Like what?
As far as carries. I don't think he get enough opportunities.
Well, last year he was hurt.
There's a graphic that shows from when he won Rookie of the Year that his rushing yards a game has went down. But like,
well, that's because you pay your quarterback all that money and you expect him to go out there and do something.
I mean, I understand that. I do understand that. But I'm saying, to me, the way our offense is set up, it works better for the quarterback if Zeke is getting hit.
It does.
It works, you know what I'm saying? Because that plays into the play action.
But also, we've seen Zeke, and I don't think this is any fault of his own. But we've seen some of it, because we've seen him come in out of shape and stuff too.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've seen Zeke slowly on a decline, and to me personally, that's because of his usage in college,
usage rate.
And then the usage in his first two or three years in the pros. Yeah, like they were getting like 300 carries or something like that.
It's not the same.
And so I
just think that's a reflection that hurts of him. How the game is, what the NFL game is headed to. Either way,
yeah,
you know what I mean. But with that being said, they still didn't utilize him like they should have utilized him.
No, he was a pass blocker last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They didn't utilize him fully like he should. Even if it was catching stuff in a flat, even if it was little draw plays, I just feel like they didn't give him as many opportunities with the ball as they needed to.
Yeah.
And as of late, the last like 2-3 years.
I honestly think y'all should run a 2-back set with Zeke and Pollard out there. And if you're going to use Zeke to block, at least run Pollard from the slot or something like that.
You got to have both of them out there to confuse people.
Yeah, because I mean,
Pollard is a good back.
He's electric with the ball in his hands.
He's a starting back on any other team, to be honest with you. He's a starting back on any other team. It's just that in Dallas, we put a first-round pick into Zeke. He can pay all his money, so he's got to come up to number two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But if he was anybody else, if he was in Miami, he'd be starting.
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If he was in New England, he'd probably be starting.
I don't know. Damian Harris is nice.
He'd be up and down for me. I think that, like, you know how
Belichick is.
Yeah, Belichick played the person for that matchup that week.
Yeah, he don't care who you are.
He don't care about none of that. He just like, who's the best matchup for this week? We're going to exploit that.
Exactly.
I don't know, man. I feel like the Cowboys could be doing so much better. We can make so many moves this draft. I don't know if we'll make them or if it'll happen, but we could definitely make some moves this draft to end up being prominent and getting one of them quote-unquote top 10 players.
Yeah.
Whether it be offensive line, whatever. I think we have the collateral to be able to make it happen.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Y'all definitely need to retool that offensive line because Tyron Smith is getting older.
Well, Zach Martin, all of them.
Zach Martin's older.
It don't do no better. You know, it ain't hurting to put somebody, you know what I'm saying, to put somebody in place.
Yeah, and what, Collins is gone.
Yeah,
so like,
went to Cincinnati.
Yeah, so I mean, there's definitely a need at the offensive line, and I honestly think that should be our first pick of the draft.
I can't be mad at that. Like I said, it's either offensive line. I can do one of three things: offensive line, defensive line,
or secondary.
Yeah, or secondary.
Yeah.
If it ain't one of those, then I can't see it.
Yeah, like, no, I feel that.
If they trade up and they grab Sauce Gardner or something like that, I ain't going to be mad at that. You know what I'm saying? If they trade up and they grab Evan Neal or something, I'm not going to be mad at that.
No, for sure.
I'm not going to be mad at that. That's a smart move. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's a smart move as far as going forward. I just would be mad if they snatch up and they grab a receiver. I'm like, bro, we don't need that. You know what
Y'all
saying?
Could
like,
be going the Cincinnati Bengals route. Y'all saw what happened last year.
I mean, you're right, but they also did. What was their glaring weakness?
The offensive line.
Yeah,
Joe we Burrow saw Joe Burrow
throw the ball to none of them fancy receivers because he didn't have time to. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like if I have decent receivers and I got a great offensive line, I make more of an impact than Joe did.
Yeah.
With great offensive
line. I feel that.
You know, great receivers and a booty offensive line. So it's just like, I ain't gonna lie, I feel bad for people in Cincinnati right now because everybody knows Joe offensive line is garbage.
Well, they just retooled this offseason.
They signed a lot of people. I'm just hoping that it works out.
I
like Joe Burrow. I like Ja'Marr Chase. I'm a fan of both of them. So
yeah, they got who? Kappa from Tampa Bay. They got Collins from y'all. As long as he can stay on the right path, who knows?
Hold on, who?
Collins.
Yeah. Without suspension. Yeah.
They got some other people too. They really went in.
Yeah, they spent the time and the money to get that.
Yeah, they really went in on the offensive line this offseason. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how that works out.
Man, we gonna see. What about your Colts, man? What you think?
Hey, man, we got a
receiving core is gorgeous.
Yeah, outside of Michael Pittman, we don't really have.
Outside of Michael Pittman, receiver core is garbage.
So what I'm hoping, I mean, because we don't have
to draft a receiver and low key trade for a receiver.
So I don't think we're gonna trade for one.
I don't think y'all will.
What we can do?
I think y'all for sure gonna draft.
Well, we still got Jarvis Landry as a free agent. We could go get him.
I ain't that.
If Paris Campbell, my thing is Paris Campbell needs to stay healthy. Paris Campbell has played 15 games in 3 seasons.
Yeah,
so that's terrible. But when he's out on the field, we see the production. So
he's just got to be healthy.
Exactly. So we're good there. In this draft, I would love for us to get George Pickens if he falls to us at 42 from Georgia. If he's not there, then I want to go offensive line at 42 because we still need a left tackle.
Yeah.
And I want us to get a tight end, so I would love for us to get Jelani Woods or Trey McBride out of Colorado State.
Trey McBride
is nasty. And I wouldn't be mad if like the fourth and the fifth round, if this dude was still around, if we picked him, Jalen Tolbert, the receiver out of Southern Alabama, I believe. Yeah, go turn on Bruh's film. Like,
you said Jalen
Tolbert.
Jalen.
Yeah, Bruh's footwork is disgusting.
Old boy from Norfolk Upstate is hard too.
Yeah, Christian Watson.
Yeah, the big dude. Yeah,
yeah. He's nasty
it's just
too.
The thing is, his team was more predicated on running the ball.
But he still put up good numbers.
Yeah, he still had 900 and like 15-16 touchdowns.
Yeah, something crazy.
Yeah.
But he's nice and like he ran like a 4.243.
You know what I think he's gonna end up being with, and I hate it.
Who?
Damn, Patriots, bro. I think he's destined for a team like that.
If he goes to the Patriots, it is what it is.
All of them people from small schools.
I think they're gonna take Slade Bolden from Alabama. I think the Patriots gonna pick him up later in the draft.
Either he's gonna be
undrafted or they're gonna pick him up in like the sixth or seventh round. Yeah, I think they're gonna go with him because he's like
that played professionally full time at a college at U of Alabama.
Him and Mac Jones, of course. I mean, granted, they could also get Mechie, at some point.
The defensive lineman?
No, John Mechie, the receiver from Alabama.
Yeah,
to pair him back up with Mac Jones. But I think Slade Bolden is that kind of receiver that
I'm not a believer in Mac.
that Belichick likes.
I'm not a believer in Mac Jones.
You're not?
No.
I think Mac Jones is going to be all right. I think he's going to be all right.
Every other of the young quarterbacks I like besides Mac Jones. Our Alabama quarterbacks just don't. They don't have it, bro.
They don't pan out. But, I mean, the jury's still out on Hurts, Mac, and Tua.
Man, I'm one person that says that they did too much to get two of them weapons. He ain't gonna be able to throw Tyreek a 60-yard pass. He can't throw that far.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't think Tua has a strong arm, but
he doesn't.
It's but we did see him hitting Henry Ruggs and Jerry or not
that
Jerry
was
Judy,
more scheme,
but Ruggs
more
and who else?
The
what was the other dude?
That
what was the other dude? Devonta Smith.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah,
the one with Philly.
Yeah, it is play calling. Play calling does help with that a lot, but I don't know. I
just don't think he.
I'm interested to see what happens with Miami this year. You know, with Mike McDaniels and all of that.
I just don't think he's that good, bro. Like, he's just one of them people that, you know, everybody else is like, oh, yeah, you got to mess with him and you get to him. It's like,
and you're like, nah.
Yeah, like, he just hyped up, you know what I'm saying? I don't think he's that good.
Nah, I feel you there.
I mean, if he is, I'll admit it, but at this time.
It's still left to be shown.
I don't believe it, bro.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Nah, I feel you. I feel you there. I'm just ready to see what's going to happen, man. Schedule comes out May 12th, so I'm ready to see when the Colts go to Dallas because I'm trying to go to that game.
For real.
Trying to see when they go out to LA because I want to go to that Chargers game against the Colts, and I'm trying to get to the game in Indy when they play the Chiefs.
Yeah. Especially when they play the Chiefs. That's
yeah, I'm trying to go to that
if
game.
If anything, you get some points. Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
For real. But, man, that's all I have for y'all. Again, Vic, let them know, a.k.a. VZ. Let them know where they can find you at, man.
Man, you can find me on all streaming platforms under VZ. You can find me on Twitter at BigVZ210. You can find me on Instagram at BigVZ, at VZMusic210. You can find me on Facebook at VZ, at just VZ. You know what I'm saying? If you search, I'm on all streaming platforms. I got singles out everywhere. Just look for me, man. I'm everywhere, man.
And again, I'm gonna have them links down in the description for y'all to click on, and so that way you can go to his, go to all of his stuff, man, and follow your boy.
Facts.
Follow your boy. Let's get his music out there. Let's keep pushing it, man.
Yeah, man.
But all right, until next time, y'all be easy.
Thank you for having me, bro.
Oh, no problem, bro. Anytime, man. Anytime. Y'all be easy. Peace.
Peace.